Let's open with hymn 244. And of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Of him and through him and to him are all things. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor sinners confess that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that left to ourselves we die and perish in sin, since that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and cannot see the kingdom of God. But we beseech thee, grant us thy grace and mercy. And for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, send thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that being regenerate, we may firmly believe the forgiveness of sins, according to thy promise in baptism, and that we may daily increase in brotherly love and in other good works, until we at last obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is found in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 7th verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The Epistle for Trinity Sunday is found in the 11th chapter of Romans, the 33rd through the 36th verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here ends the epistle lesson. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who beholdest the deep, and who dwellest between the cherubim. Blessed art thou, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and greatly to be praised forever. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed art thou, O Lord of our fathers, and greatly to be praised and glorified forever. Alleluia. The Gospel is found in the third chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here ends the Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith with the Athanasian Creed, found on page 53 in the front part of the Lutheran hymnal. Whosoever will be saved, before all things it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except every one do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal,
And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord.
And yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after other another,
none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal,
so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the Trinity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation
that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man,
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds,
and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world,
perfect God and perfect man,
of a reasonable and soul and human flesh subsisting,
equal to the Father as touching his Godhead,
and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood,
who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ,
one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God,
one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man,
so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation,
descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead,
at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting,
and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved.
We sing hymn number 251.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the third chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I tell you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by the working of thy Holy Spirit, let us believe and adore the mystery of the Holy Trinity and the incarnation of thy Son. Amen. Dear beloved in Jesus Christ, the famous atheist Bertrand Russell once said, The Christian religion as organized in its churches has been and still is the principal enemy of moral progress in the world. You will find few people making similar claims regarding Buddhism, Islam, or Judaism. Christianity is uniquely targeted with such hate speech and slander by the movers and shakers who think that they are fit to rule the world. It is the one faith among all the religions in the world that they cannot tolerate. If Mr. Russell were alive today, he might well change his mind, since it is quickly becoming difficult to find a Christian church that is in any way different than the various religions of the world. Once you get past the stylistic differences, the words that they preach, the songs they sing, and the prayers they pray would work just as well in a mosque or a synagogue or an ashram. To most people, it's comforting to believe that all the various faiths really are just different paths to the same God, because then it doesn't matter what you believe. There is no God that will hold you accountable. But the Christian faith, which was preached by the apostles, defended by such men as Augustine and Athanasius, boldly reformed by Luther, stands apart from all the religions in the world, making the exclusive claim that there is no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ that can save mankind. And there is no other Jesus Christ than he who is the Son of God from eternity, who became man, and who still works powerfully among men by his Holy Spirit. This God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the only God, and he has delivered men from the power of death in no other way than by the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Whoever denies that the one true God is three persons is forced by that denial to split Jesus in two, making one Jesus who is divine and another who is human. Whoever denies the Trinity but still wants to believe in Jesus Christ is forced to believe that only the human nature of Jesus suffered and died upon the cross and offered up himself to his other half. They make the sacrifice of Jesus have so little value that it is unable to appease the wrath of God. They have no Savior in whom they can believe, but only a martyr or a holy man, no different than the holy men of other religions. When such a Jesus would attempt to intercede for men before the Father in heaven, he would be just a man with no more ability to appease God's wrath than any other man. What would he point to as proof that men's sins are forgiven? He would have his own perfect life, but that life would help none but himself. Therefore, the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of salvation in Jesus Christ are so intrinsically linked that it is not possible to deny one without denying the other. It is for this reason that we confess the Athanasian Creed as we did today and boldly declare, whoever desires to be saved must thus think about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the Creed, we have two precious mysteries. They are precious because God has revealed them to us. And in so doing, he's revealed the way that we might be saved. The first mystery is that there is one God who is three persons. The second is that one person of the Trinity, the Son of God, became true man, so that Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior, fully God and fully human. These mysteries are so great that no amount of study, whether of the Bible or in any realm of knowledge, will reveal to us the inner working and nature of these two miraculous truths. We stand in awe of the mystery of the Trinity and the incarnation of Jesus. But what is most amazing is that they are plainly revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit so that we can believe them faithfully, even though we lack the capacity to understand them. We see this first mystery at the throne of heaven, the perfect seraphs who ever attend the Lord on his throne, singing their threefold holy, they must cover their faces. There stands the prophet Isaiah, dreadfully afraid, knowing that he, a man of unclean lips, has seen the Lord of hosts in all of his majesty, and so he must die. Yet the Lord answers his fear with a coal from the altar of heaven, a little spark amidst all the glory. And his iniquity is purged away. We find that little burning ember, the second mystery, revealed at the manger, where the Son of God hid all of his divine might and power and glory in the body of a child and was born as a humble babe who comes to man and touches us with his sacrifice. And lo, our iniquity is purged and our sins are forgiven. Theologians for many generations have fought and struggled to defend these truths from heretics who by their satanically inspired lies would rob men of our divine Savior. One such grand struggle resulted in the production of the Athanasian Creed which we confessed today. And yet as devils struggle in vain to overthrow these mysteries, little children and old men are blessed by the triune God and by the incarnation of Jesus Christ. How is this possible to believe what to your human mind is impossible? Because God has revealed a third mystery and placed it into the hands of men to perform on his behalf and poured into it his Holy Spirit and all of his divine power. It is baptism, where men of every age and station in life are born again of water and of the Holy Spirit. There the triune God himself enters into human hearts, and the blood of the covenant which was shed by Jesus Christ marks them as God's own children. They are born not by the will of man, or according to the flesh, but by the power and the Spirit of God. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of his fellow Pharisees, was a skilled teacher in Israel. He was wise in the scriptures, wise enough to recognize in Jesus the Christ. He knew that he knew these scriptures like the back of his hand. And yet for all of that wisdom, he still did not understand the simplest truth of salvation, that it is not by any work of man, but by the power of God's Spirit alone, that a man might be converted, born again, and thus be prepared to enter into eternal life. You cannot tell where the wind comes from or where it goes, but you know it exists because you can hear its sound. And even so, those who are born again by the Spirit of God have a work done in them that no man can comprehend. How were they granted faith? How can their believing in Jesus Christ grant them everlasting life in the future? We know it is so, yet we cannot understand the mechanics of it. As a true son of Abraham, Nicodemus should not have been surprised at this, at his limitations. He was made a child of God by circumcision, an act that should have nothing to do with salvation any more than the applying of water should, by all reasonable estimation, and yet there it was. God had made it so. How it was done, how it worked faith in his heart, how that faith is counted as righteousness by God and gives to us everlasting life, no man can comprehend. It is true, and yet it is a miracle nonetheless. And so on this Trinity Sunday, we have three mysteries. A triune God, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ, and baptism, the new birth by water and the Holy Spirit. Together, these define the Christian faith. They set it apart from all the religions in the world. These three mysteries were joined together into a single proclamation by our Lord Jesus Christ, when he commissioned his apostles to go out into all the world and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And as they do so, Jesus assures them, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." With those words, Jesus ordained that baptism in the name of the triune God for our salvation. And he claimed for himself the ability that only God has to be at all places at the same time, to be with us still, even as he was in heaven. Something that could only be true if he was both God and man. It is how he, the Son of Man, who was lifted up upon the cross, can both be in heaven, as he told Nicodemus, and yet still be with us forever. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has revealed the mysteries of our faith so plainly and clearly that despite our limited minds, The church has stood firm and has weathered many centuries of controversy and countless attempts to deny these essential truths without which we cannot be saved. Every such denial, however, begins with an attempt to explain the unexplainable, to make comprehensible the incomprehensible, to make reasonable what our mind by its very nature cannot reason out. God did not reveal to us his triune nature, or the incarnation of Jesus, or the new birth of baptism, or the absolution of the Lord's Supper, so that we could pick these truths apart and try to determine how they work. A flea might as well attempt to explain the workings of a supercomputer. No, he revealed them unto us so that we might be saved. And he has revealed them that we might adore the Lord of our God and the Lord our God and stand in awe of his nature and especially of his love. Paul declared in our epistle lesson, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever." And so Jesus sent Paul and the other apostles to declare this unsearchable wisdom and knowledge of God throughout the world, even as Jesus continues to send pastors today. And so on this day and every day, we worship the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. For there is no other God who has redeemed men from sin and death. We worship him in his Son, Jesus Christ, who became man that he might offer himself as the only sacrifice which could atone for the sins of the world. We thank and praise him that he has hidden these truths from the wise and prudent and yet revealed them unto babes who are baptized into his name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. May God grant us such a faith that continues to faithfully believe these wondrous mysteries of his nature and working by which we have been saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, thou fountain of all our blessings, who art from everlasting to everlasting, and who dwellest in majesty, honor, and glory, as the most blessed Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the wondrous mercy by which we have come to love thee. We thank thee that thou art one true triune Godhead, eternal, immortal, invisible, in whom we live and move and have our being. We bless thee, Almighty Father, whose glory filleth the heavens, who madest all things. Thy judgments and decrees in the whole universe declare and show forth thy power and glory. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. We worship thee, O Christ, thou only begotten Son of the Father. Thou wast lifted up to draw all men unto thee, that whosoever believes in thee should not perish but have everlasting life. Thou hast been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and been given a name which is above every name, and now ever livest to make intercession for thy people. O Lord, how great is thy mercy! In love thou hast ransomed and redeemed us. We praise thee, O Holy Spirit, who hast called us by the gospel and hast led us into all truth. Thou hast gathered us into thy church and sanctified us by thy grace. Thou hast transformed us in the inner man and renewed us in the spirit of our minds. O Lord and giver of life, how marvelous are thy gifts! In grace thou givest them all. We pray, Almighty God, that we may be enriched from the treasures of thy wisdom and knowledge. Open to us the Holy Scriptures, that we may grow in the understanding of thy will, render thee a more acceptable service, and attain a more perfect love and obedience. Confirm in us the new birth, and save us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And because thy judgments are unsearchable to our sinful minds, and thy ways are past finding out, we do not ask a perfect understanding of thy divine majesty and holiness, but only to have a firm faith in thee, O God, and in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Grant that in beholding thee through thy Son, our Savior, we may know thy glory, that thou art a God of love and mercy, and a God of grace and truth, and trust wholly and only in thee for all things in all times and in every place. Abide with thy church, O Lord, and make her people and pastors diligent in her calling. Cleanse her of error, weakness, and disobedience, and purify her in faith and all good works. Strengthen thy truth in our faltering hands, and give us a lively hope in thy bountiful promises. Grant us through the merits of Jesus Christ the remission of all our sins, and preserve us into the coming of thy heavenly kingdom, when we shall see thee face to face, and faith shall be perfected in heavenly knowledge. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We sing hymn number 238. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 248.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I think it's summer.
Yeah. But it's more like it's spring. So.
Yeah.
Except for this.
40-degree
last 2 days.
Well, you're going up to Frosty Land.
Well, according to the forecast, it's not going to.